Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Thank you for coming out and worshiping with us here in person. Starting off with a few announcements. The Shady Oak Bible Study this week, if you're interested in participating in that, reach out to Pastor John for more information. His contact information is on the back of your bulletin. The Bible studies on the book of James are on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. In person or online over Zoom, or 7 p.m. in person. So if you're interested in that Bible study, also reach out to Pastor John. The offering plate won't be passed around during the service. You can find that in the entryway. And coming up in a couple weeks, we've got the Super Bowl, which is February 13th. And following the service on the 13th, the Sunday School families are going to host a Super Bowl party here. So instead of a potluck, stick around for that Super Bowl party. I'd also like to draw your attention to your bulletin insert on Giving Hearts Day. I would encourage you to support the Lutheran Brethren Seminary. That's one of the things that you can designate your donations for. And on your bulletin insert, it shows two ways that you can give. It's got a link on the CLBA website that you can give before February 10th. That's when the cutoff for that is. Or you can also send a check in to the Church of the Lutheran Brethren. The address is there on your bulletin insert. There's also in the entryway on the bulletin board, there are some other organizations that you can designate your donations to for Giving Hearts Day. So I would encourage you to take a look at that on the bulletin board. Are there any other announcements that should be made? All right, then let's begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 11. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone, for my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Let us continue with a moment of silence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are our rock of refuge and our hope. By your Son, Jesus Christ, you have rescued us. You have delivered us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Fill us with praise and worship that honors you. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we might find refuge in it today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you to please rise as you are so able, as we continue to worship God in song with our first hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. continue standing as we come before God with a confession of our sin. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin or on the screen. For a second, I didn't know if it was going to pop up. Reading aloud under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. Now it is time to turn to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, I'll ask, are there any prayer requests? Yeah. Oh, the surgery tomorrow morning. Are there any others? Was that just diagnosed? Sure. Was that just diagnosed recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
He might be going on hospice.
Okay. All right, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together this day. You alone hold the powers of life and death. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares that he was dead, and now look, he is alive forever and ever. We believe that he holds the keys of death. Many times our circumstances seem to testify against your promise. We confess that we often place our trust in what we see with our eyes, and that we easily forget the greater realities that we hear through your word. Lord, we live in a world that is stained with sin, a world that is filled with darkness, and we confess that it's not always easy to see you or your promises. We are feeling the effects of sin and death. And Lord, we pray for all of those who are feeling those effects. We think of Jerry and Barb. We pray for Jerry and for his upcoming surgery tomorrow. We pray that you would be with the doctors, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to treat him well and effectively. We also pray for Joe's cousin Steve, who has been diagnosed with cancer. We ask that you would also be with his physicians, that you would also give him your peace and encouragement, and that he would know that you are with him. Lord, we also think of the family of Kevin Foss. We ask that you would be with them and comfort them during this time. We also remember all of those who are suffering from physical dangers and temptation, doubts, illness, financial distress. We pray for all of those who are sick with COVID and for those who have been isolated because of it. We ask that you would comfort them, and also all of those who are feeling depressed or anxious, lonely. Remind us all of your promise to be with us always. We pray for the leaders of our state and our country, and for all of the leaders around the world. We ask that you would give them your wisdom as they navigate these difficult times. We ask that you would give them discernment as they make difficult decisions. We also ask that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. By your Spirit, change our hearts and our selfish desires. Prompt us to love and to serve you and our neighbor. We ask that you would bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us this morning. Quiet our minds and fix our attention on that word. And now let us pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite you to rise for the reading of God's word, as you're able. The scripture today is 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. I read in Jesus' name. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Our fourth of four questions this month is, how can I know if I'm going to heaven? Good question. Why? Well, because what's at stake? Some people, typically atheists, believe that this life is all there is. No such thing as heaven or hell. After this life, that's it. Nothing more. Others believe there is no hell, or that because God is a loving God, everyone automatically goes to heaven whether they trust in Jesus as their Savior or not. There's a name for this belief. It's universalism. There's still others, some claiming to be Christian, that seem to promote the idea that heaven can be attained by what we do, namely our own good deeds. And there's a popular sentiment, I hear it, it's kind of in the air we breathe in our culture. You hear it in casual conversations, in popular songs or movies, you might see this thought. It promotes the idea that everyone goes to heaven, or at least everyone who's basically good, or, you know, maybe 51% good, tips the scale that way. Or at least everyone who isn't a Stalin, a Hitler, an Osama bin Laden, or fill in the blank of the villain of your choice. Except for those really bad people, everyone pretty much goes to heaven. Well, how do you know what's true? More specifically, how can one know for oneself? How can you know for yourself where you will end up after this life has come to an end? I have some good news for you. I also have some bad news for you. But I have some more good news for you after that. First, the good news. You can know. You don't have to wonder. God has revealed the answer. The Bible has much to say on this matter. Now the bad news. There is a hell, and many will end up in it. Pastor Eric mentioned this passage in his sermon last week. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says the following: "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Many. "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus warns further of the destination of those who are not his sheep in Matthew 25, verse 31 and following. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." In the book of Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, we are given yet another picture of the horrific end of those who are not going to heaven. Revelation 20, 11, Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The most sobering thing about hell is that it never ends. No matter how horrible a death one dies on this earth, and many followers of Jesus have suffered terribly and had a very horrible death, yet death in this life is the end of suffering in this life. There is an end to any terrible pain or suffering one can face in this life. The suffering in this world that we experience ends with death. However, the suffering and torment of hell has no end, and therefore has no hope. Jesus says in Mark 9, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out." Hope for relief. Hope in something that's yet to come that is better. Hope has helped countless believers face terrible things in this life. But such hope does not exist in hell. If such news does not strike terror in you, you're either hearing this for the first time and just haven't had a chance to really process or understand or grasp what this really means, or else you are an arrogant fool. Or you already know and believe the more good news I referred to earlier. I don't like talking about the bad news, but it's necessary to declare it because of those who have not heard it, or of those who have heard it and have stayed stiff-necked and hard-hearted and have yet to repent and believe the good news. If you're one of those who has refused and you still have a pulse, there's still hope. But you need to know the truth which sets you free. Unlike the Elsa the lion in the story from East Africa, we, as human beings, are not born free. And those of you who are old enough now hear Andy Williams singing in the back of your heads, born free. Maybe for a lion in East Africa, but not for people, not spiritually speaking. The scripture declares that every one of us in this room, and we just heard it in our confession of sin, were born guilty of sin and deserving of the horrific destination described in the previous passages. David writes in Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Born free? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We were born immersed in it. Paul writes in Romans that on our own merits, there are none of us among us who are regarded as righteous in God's sight, that the wages of sin is death. And here's where the good news comes in. Because right on the heels of that last verse, it says this, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul says it this way in chapter 5. "You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, he says it like this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Great words. But why do so many of us still struggle with this? To have peace in our hearts. To know. And I'm not talking about just knowing up here, knowing the right answer. But to know. To have rest. I look out here, I see most of you are church-going folk and have been so for many years. For you, this bad news and good news should not be new news. You should have heard it before. I know you have. But in my life and my ministry, I've encountered more than one church-going person, a church-going for many years person, who was not sure about his or her new address after this life has ended. Hence the question, how can I know? How can I know I'm going to heaven? It's a good question. And there's a good answer. How can we know? Being saved by grace it sounds too good to be true. And humanly speaking, it is. But it's not the human who's making the promise. It's God Himself. And He is good. And His love endures forever. But when we're saved, we still find ourselves dealing with this sin problem and doing the kinds of things that are mentioned in connection with people being condemned. And there comes the doubts crawling in. Well, am I really saved? Did I really mean it? Do I really, really believe enough? And each of these passages, so many of them that talk about being saved by grace and by Jesus, then end up talking about good works, us doing good works, just like in Ephesians 10. That to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the judgment of being judged on what we do. And so doubt creeps in. Now what? This is a tricky part. Actually, it's more than tricky, it's impossible. At least for the old nature, the old Adam in us to grasp. See, Adam, the old Adam, the old sinner, says, I got to do it. I can do it. But God's law says, you can't. God's word says, apart from his work, the work of his spirit, you can't even understand this, old sinner. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. And there it is. Apart from the Spirit, we don't get this. It makes no sense. Because the old nature in me and you says, it's all about me. It's all about you. And that's why John writes what he does in our passage today about the work of the Spirit testifying, bearing witness. The Spirit says it's all about Jesus. It's all about his work on the cross. It's all about his blood shed for you and me. It's all about his claim on you in holy baptism. It's all about his Spirit dwelling in you and at work in you. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The message of the cross. A passage like this is great news for those who know they are among the us who are being saved. But there come those doubts creeping again. What do we do? What do we do? And here we go again. How do I know I have the faith? And that's where we start going in that little spiral around and around again, looking at our navel and chasing our tail at the same time. We end up with a sore neck and dizzy, falling over on the floor, spiritually speaking. But here's where the good news comes right back at us to rescue us. Faith isn't something you work up on your own. You don't squeeze real tight and somehow squeeze it out or squeeze it in. God's word says it's a gift. You're saved by grace through faith, and this, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The faith itself is the gift, which he gives you by his Holy Spirit when you hear the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done for you. The Spirit himself testifies, 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, to prove that he had died, a soldier took a spear and instead of breaking his legs, he thrust it into Jesus' side, and out came a flow of blood and water, testifying that the sinless Son of God had indeed died. And he had died for you. And this water further points us to holy baptism, in which Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 that when we were baptized into Christ, we were buried with him in his death and raised with him in his resurrection. The water of baptism is tinted with the blood of Christ. It is His claim on you. That is the testimony. The Spirit Himself testifies. He stands up for you in court and says, you belong to God the Father because of what Jesus has done for you and the claim He has made on you. He bears witness. He testifies in court. And His testimony is greater than ours. It's greater than the accusations of the devil or any doubts or any feelings that we may have to the contrary. It is the testimony of God which He has given about His Son. And that is the nature of faith. It's not something we produce. It's something He brings out of us and works in us because of who He is and what He's done and what He has promised. Romans chapter 8. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Faith and trusting in Jesus. The picture that comes to my mind is that of Jesus as He was walking out on the water to catch up with His disciples who were in the boat being tossed by the wind and waves. Peter, if it's really you, he said, Jesus, tell me to come out and come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking on water. Fixed with his gaze on Jesus, he starts walking on water. And then, oh, there's those wind, those waves, and that wind. And down he starts going. Lord, save me! And Jesus catches him. Living in faith, knowing where you're going. I think it's like that. We get distracted, and we start feeling ourselves sinking down. But the answer is simply is, turn your eyes on Jesus. Not on yourself. You'll never measure up. I certainly won't. But He already has. That's how we know. The Word declares it. He is the atoning sacrifice for all our sins, 1 John 2. He is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1. His name is the only one given to us by which we must be saved, Acts 4:12. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He is the one who gives us the peace which passes all human understanding. Philippians 4. And Jesus Himself, in John 10, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Period. Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank You for giving us a gift that's greater than we can even understand. Thank You. And thank You for giving us Your Spirit, the gift of Your Spirit, that we may receive this great gift. And for giving us Your promises, that though we are weak, we doubt, we slip, we fall, your promise remains true that you are the good shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep, who seeks and saves the lost. May we rest in you and share you with everyone, Lord, with everyone that you have died for, as you give us opportunity. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Please rise as you are able as we sing our next hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. hear this benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.